The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As we are heading into the new year, there are always fresh questions about employment law. And as we note, the temperatures have fallen, possible snow in some parts of the country. What will happen if you have to close your business or if your employees can't make it to work? Do they still get paid? And can your employer tell you when to take your annual leave? To answer these and other employment law questions, we have with us the Chief Business Officer at Oireachas, Julie Galbraith, who's going to answer all of those questions. Oireachas, Ireland's largest insurance brokers. Julie, good morning and welcome.
Thanks, Pat. It's lovely to be back.
Now, let's talk about the weather, taking a turn for the worst. What about employers and companies and employees? What changes for them?
Yes, it's a very frosty and cold morning that we're waking up to today, and it's not too bad here in Dublin, but I know from my family and friends in Donegal, the schools are closed up there. I have beautiful photos of the snow and ice this morning. But as an employer, so whether you're in Donegal or in other parts of the country where there are yellow warnings today, what do you need to think about in your business? So it's another complicating factor you may have to consider. Is it safe to open your business? Is it safe to ask employees to come into work today? And what about customers or people that need to access
your building? Now, if I'm an employer and I clean off the ice and frost off my steps and the pavement outside, so you can actually, if you reach my doorway, you can get in safely. But you might have to negotiate busy roads and busy footpaths to get to my entrance.
Yeah, and
who's responsible if you fall, you know, 10 metres away from the door of the office?
Or even you could live up the top of a lane in the middle of nowhere and you have to get from that lane to your place of work. So, as we often say, the primary obligation on employees is to be available to work, and that includes turning up to work. The primary obligation for employers is to provide a safe place of work. So those are the bits that we'll always go back to. So for the employer, as you say, if they've done their job of gritting around their premises, making sure it's warm enough inside, that there are no burst pipes, that the heating is on, then it is for an employee to get to work. So the employee
so
has
they
to
have
consider
to take
that.
Care. They have to on the way
care.
To work.
They have to be reasonable, but equally, whether they get there by driving, on a bike, on a camel, that essentially is their responsibility.
Now, if the employer says, we're closing, can they force you to take annual leave and say, "This, you know, we're closing, you cannot come to work because we're not working today, therefore you're off, and if you want to get paid, it's part of your holidays"?
Yeah, this question comes up a lot. So can an employer force an employee to take annual leave? The short answer is yes. So under the Organisation of Work and Time Act, the obligation to take leave is on the employee, but that ability to decide when it is on the employer. In a scenario like today, so if a business decided just to close this morning, I think it'd be unfair or there wouldn't be adequate notice given to an employee to take annual leave for that day. So if an employer can't open their business, then that really should be paid leave for the employee. But there are loads of other things to think about there where probably the onus is more on the employee. Like if they can't get to school, if childcare is closed, if they can't get to work because schools are closed or childcare is closed, that's much more of an obligation now on the employee to think about. They may need to ask, could they
take
annual leave?
So if they can't make it to work, they don't get paid?
No, technically not. It would be the law in Ireland.
Now, what about remote working? If, you know, they're allowed to remotely work, say, 2 days a week or 3 days a week, and go in the office for the other two or other three, can they say to the employer, listen, we're frozen, it's Baltic, we can't make it to work, can we do the 5 days in the office? Is that reasonable?
Or 5 days at home.
It is 5 days
reasonable.
At home, yeah.
Yeah. I would always encourage employers to try and be reasonable and be flexible where there are adverse conditions like weather, whatever that adverse condition is. It's not always possible. And the problem would be if employees could work part-time from home or part-time from the office, and then you're requiring other employees to be in the office to keep the machines running or to keep the work happening. Mm-hmm. If employees can work from home, absolutely facilitate that. Do it fairly across the board. But do have a good think about the implications, the knock-on of summer at home and summer.
Now, there's a concept called force majeure, and there's a question about it. Our son has to have minor surgery later this month and I will have to take time off to be with him. Is this time covered under force majeure leave or do I have to use my annual leave as it is a planned surgery and not an emergency?
Yeah, that's the key point. If it's planned, it isn't force majeure. So it's even possible that this morning wouldn't be force majeure. Force majeure is a very particular type of leave under the Parental Leave Act. And it talks about an immediate or a sudden need to change your plans.
So if for example, in Donegal, people can't make it to work, they can't say force majeure because the Met Office told us days ago.
Yes.
This was coming.
Correct. So it would be maybe if I was walking out the door and one of my children literally tripped and hit their head as we were leaving the door and I now must bring them to hospital. That's force majeure. And the unusual aspect is that it's paid leave. So a lot of our family leaves are not fully paid, whereas force majeure is paid leave. So it's up to 3 days paid leave in 12 months or up to 5 days in 36 months. But it must be immediate and sudden.
Here's an interesting one because it happens in many companies. With regards to carrying over holidays to a new calendar year, is a lose it or use it or lose it policy, is that legal?
It is legal, yeah. So
doesn't seem reasonable.
Again, the Organisation of Working Time Act says an employee is entitled to 20 days annual leave in a leave year. The employee must use those days. The employer must provide opportunities for those days to be used. If an employee doesn't use them, then technically they can lose them. But I would say an employer should allow at least a carryover of 2, 3, 5 days, even just for a month. And that month, really, the employee should be told.
Can someone who's worked off the days, though, say, I'm due 5 days left and there's only 2 days in which I can take this 5 days. I want to be paid for the other ones because I've done the work.
Again, the law won't allow an employer to do that. So the law says the only time you can pay out for annual leave is on termination of employment. So the only time you can be paid for leave is at the end of your employment. And that's to encourage employees to take the leave. Because a lot of employers would say the reverse is true, that they can't get employees to actually take their leave.
While an employer is allowed to tell you when you can take your annual leave, is it okay for you to take unpaid leave at a time that suits you for holidays? Maybe the price of a holiday or whatever, or to suit children's school or family events in addition to your paid leave. That's from Brian.
It is possible, but an employer doesn't have to do it. So again, if you think about, say, like the likes of Arica's, we have over 780 employees. It's very difficult if you're trying to manage lots of different people with different schedules and work that has to get done. So if you're considering additional leave, and people do this a lot during the summer months, it is very possible, especially if they want to take parental leave. But this is where I'd advise employers to have a policy on something like that. So have an annual leave, unpaid leave policy that employees can look at.
Another question about government closing the schools. What are your rights if the government closes schools and creches and you can't go to work if working from home is not an option? So this is decided by government, the schools are closing.
Yeah, so again, if you think from the employer's perspective, the schools are closed, but the employer's business must still open. And I think a lot of people think about this when they work in an office or an environment where they feel they could do it from home. But if you worked in retail, if you worked in Lidl or Aldi, there's an obligation for you to be in Lidl or Aldi that day to work. So
even if the government has caused your discomfiture.
Yeah, your primary obligation to an employee is to your employer. It's not to the government. So you'd have to either consider other possibilities to look after your children. You can absolutely talk to your employer, and most employers will be very flexible and say, look, I appreciate that, so let's try and figure out your working hours around time that you have other childcare supports available.
This country is a joke, says another. Closure of schools and businesses for a bit of snow. Exactly what type of weather do we expect in winter? Local government need to get their act together and get winter weather ready.
Yeah, and I think we're probably a lot better prepared than we were 10 years ago. So again, we've been talking to a lot of our customers in terms of how they're preparing their businesses for snow and ice to ensure that they can stay open. And we'd see that across the country with properties and otherwise. People in Ireland are much better prepared for cold weather than they used to be. But yes, we need to be ready to get out and walk.
Interesting one here. Can my employer remove me from the roster and put me on unpaid leave indefinitely if I present a doctor's note which allows me to postpone an upcoming disciplinary meeting for reasons of stress? Employer says if you can't perform your duties by not attending meetings, you can't perform any of your duties, even though they have a policy of asking employees, are you fit and able to take part in this meeting?
Yeah, there's probably a few nuances to that. And there's probably a lot of background detail that we're not getting there. So the primary piece of information there is that there's a cert from the doctor to say that somebody is unfit to perform a certain part of their role. That wouldn't be overly common. So normally a doctor's cert would say whether you're fit or unfit. So the employer there needs to ask that employee to attend occupational health. So to go and get a company doctor to consider whether or not that one part of the role means that they can't do the rest of their role. If the person can still do lots of other aspects of their role, then they should be facilitated to do that. They also should be on sick leave if they're not able to do the work. And again, it goes back to whether that sick leave is paid leave or not. But it wouldn't be common to say go on unpaid leave. There is a concept of administrative leave, say in the civil service or the public sector. That wouldn't be as common in commercial industries or commercial businesses.
I mean, if you're on unpaid leave, you're effectively dismissed, are you not? You're not. You're told you're still employed, but we're not paying you.
Yeah, I'd
that's
say
effectively
that,
dismissed.
I'd imagine where the employer is coming from is the sense that, you know, you're on unpaid leave because you're telling us that you can't do a key part of your role. It's probably linked to, say, suspension or other aspects. But again, all those leaves are paid. So it's very difficult if it's the unpaid aspect.
Now, this one, I don't know. What does CIP stand for? Do you know?
What's the context?
Yeah, I have asthma. And I've been asked by my employer to take CIP as they cannot provide a safe working space for me. I'm on half pay. Is this legal for them to ask me to be out of pocket because they cannot provide a safe space?
Maybe it's some kind of illness protection. The obligation is on the employer to provide a safe place of work. So if they cannot provide a safe place of work, then it is possible for an employee to request either reasonable adjustments, and that would be very common, or to work from home. So most employers would be able to facilitate something like asthma or breathing difficulties within their place of work, and they would facilitate areas of work so that the employee wouldn't have to do the full range of responsibilities. But really, if they can't do the work indefinitely, the law would say that comes back to a capability point. Are they actually capable of doing the job? And that would be considered in a broader context with medical information.
They won't allow me to remotely work, even though 3/4 of my work can be done remotely. That's a postscript to that one just come in.
Yeah, and that again goes back to the nature of the business. So if we talk about the retail role, whilst a part of a job can be done remotely, if there's a huge aspect amongst the cohort of employees, so if there are 10 employees and, I don't know, 3/4 of the work can be done remotely, are other employees now picking up the rest to enable that one person to do it? So we always talk about fairness in employment law and proportionality. So what's proportionate across the entire workforce?
My 19-year-old son is in his second year of his electrical apprenticeship. He came back to work at the beginning of December after his 6 months in college and has taken no holidays, and his employer has refused to give him pay, any holiday pay at all. Very unfair. Has he any recourse?
Yes, there are certain nuances about apprenticeships and about how that operates. But yes, the reasonable and normal employment law rights would apply. Citizens Information is very good on rights of, say, apprenticeships and other aspects like that. So I'd encourage them to look up the Citizens Information website. But on a basic level, yes, he's entitled to annual leave payment.
My Canadian friend would be laughing. It was minus 30 there over the last week, minus 18 today. Nothing shuts down. They have special tires and, of course, they have thermal clothing.
Yeah, they prepare for the weather.
They prepare for the weather, which they know is going to come. Another comment here. Years ago, a friend of mine would take his generous sick leave every year, head off to Spain for his extra holiday. He would come back from his sick leave with a great tan.
Yeah, I think social media has paused some of that sick leave access. Like, I know people would have talked about their number of annual leave days and their number of paid sick leave days left to use, but social media definitely restricts someone's ability to head to Spain.
Very good. Julie, so many questions coming in, and I think we've answered many of those queries about leave and carrying leave over, which preoccupies many people. Julie Galbraith, employment law expert and chief business officer at Aracus, Ireland's largest insurance broker. Thank you very much for joining us. A number of people have been on about singing. Singing might make you feel better, but it will stress everyone else out, says one. I'm a terrible singer, but I love singing my heart out to the radio in the car. I feel it does me so much good. I hope you've no passengers, Claire. Anyway, that's all we have time for. A reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the News Talk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.